You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and all over God's magnificent planet, Miss Ellen.
That's right. Amen. All www.1510wwbc, if you're listening live right now. You can get us on any one of your listening devices. Just go to that website, you click the Listen Live button, and you'll be able to get us right live right in your living room. And then also, all of our archive shows are housed on the 1510WWBC website. Under On Demand, you just pick the date, or you can go to our website, which is cetamediainc.com, and you can search by name or by topic. And then also, all of our Facebook pages also have all of our interviews and a nice little blog about what the day is like. And after 14 years of being on this show, we've got quite a few exciting guests, much like today. We're so excited to be sharing the airwaves with these two fine gentlemen today, Sita.
Yes,
great job
are.
In finding always the perfect guests for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Well, you know, Ellen, we take the time on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to talk about topics that are going here, things that are going on right here in Brevard County, Florida, in the state of Florida. And in our world, in our universe, and the goal of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends has always been to educate, to give valuable information, and to do it in an unscripted way as though we're having conversation with someone who has the same values to make our world a better place.
Amen.
And we all talk about, you know, we learn from education, we learn from history, we learn from the people that came before us, we certainly learn from life experiences, and so much more. And our guests today is no different. In studio, we have with us our very good friend, Mr. Paul Edwards, who's a financial advisor with Possibility Plush Financial Services, but he's here not to speak about finances, even though we would love to talk to him about financial situations in another segment. He's going to talk today about BACASCA, the Brevard Caribbean Cultural Association, is having a gala to benefit the youths right here in Palm Bay, Florida, and the elderly, and all of us, a community center. We have our eyes on a piece of land, maybe an existing building, something to buy. I am a life member of BACASCA. I am a Caribbean girl, Indian Hindu girl, born and raised in the Caribbean, and I love it. And Paul is a public relations officer for BACASCA. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Right, Ellen, and our second guest, I hope you had a chance to Google him.
I did. I was so excited.
His name is Mr. Jeffrey Armstrong, or Jeffrey Armstrong G, and his Sanskrit name is Kavindra Rishi. He's an international speaker on Hindu Vedic Sanatan Dharma issues, an author. He's also, he's going to talk to us about yoga and spirituality and so many other things that he's involved in. I Googled him last night, and I am amazed, and I'm grateful to Lord Krishna that I found such a guest. And like our listeners know, our station, we talk a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk a lot about spirituality. We talk to anyone who has a platform that wants to spread goodness and kindness right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And Mr. Armstrong G is no different. So thank you for taking the time to call in from, is it Vancouver this morning?
Actually, White Rock, which is a little coastal community just outside of Vancouver.
Thank you. And you are a scholar. You're a teacher, Mr. Armstrong. You've spent 10 years translating and decolonizing the text, which was written over 5,000 years ago. Some people say 7,500 years ago, the Bhagavad Gita, which is near and dear to my heart. So I'm going to ask you a little bit. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, and how you made that transition from being in the corporate world to an author, and what you're doing to make the workplaces all over the universe a better place for people to work and be more conscious.
Well, thank you very much. It's lovely to be here with you. And Sita BG, I think you're a Caribbean Gopi.
Yes, I am.
You know, in the service of Sri Bhagavan, in a beautiful way. So lovely to be here with you. Well, I too am a crossover, a hybrid. I was born in Detroit, Michigan, and I was raised there. But by the time I was 23, I went into an ashram and spent 5 years as a brahmachari, learning the Vedic knowledge. And I have continued to learn it throughout my life. I've studied Jyotish, Vedic astrology. I've studied Sanskrit so that I know the language clearly and articulately. And I've studied the Vedic knowledge itself. So lovely to be here with you. And my goal is to make it available in everyday language for everyone.
And I love your website. When I went on there and the first few sentences, I could just close my eye and imagine a better world. A political system based upon working in harmony with the laws of nature, recognizing the unique gifts and talents that all of us as human beings have to exist. And I think it would make our world a better place if we did have chief conscious officers everywhere in all businesses. And I love the way you use the language, and you come up with these words to help humanity. How do you do that, Mr. Armstrong?
Well, it turns out that I was born a poet. I started writing poetry at age 13, and I have continued throughout my life. I've done 7 albums of music. I was a street poet and went out in the world and learned to speak that way. I've done quite a few books of poetry. And so the Devi Saraswati talks to and through me. And so my goal is to make the messages beautiful as they were intrinsically designed to be, and to do them in such a way that no one is offended, but rather gets to smile and feel their essence.
Well, Mr. Armstrong G, I have to say, tomorrow's India Independence Day, and I was just tickled pink to have you on our show today, because it speaks volume of the universe and how well it came together for me to have such an awesome guest. So one of my friends sent me a text early this morning, and she said to ask you to talk about the word namaste. People use it in when they do yoga, they use it when they wake up in the morning, some people use it in correlation with karma, but a lot of them don't really understand those two words. So would you be so kind to expand on the word namaste and karma for our Western audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends?
All right. So the first question is, when we meet someone, how do we address them that is the most accurate, respectful, and at the same time not superimposing our worldview upon them? So the Vedic culture uses Sanskrit, which is a very profound universal language, and namaste means I see you as an immortal being at the center of your body and mind. You are an atma. You cannot die. You're immortal. And like myself, you're here visiting. And I show you honor and respect. And I see you that way, not as your body, not as your color, not as your politic, not as your culture. I see you as an immortal being, like myself. And I constantly offer you that respect. So I want that neutrality, that appreciation, to be mutual, and I am not here to do anything to you, but to be here with you. That's namaste.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes, that's beautiful.
That's Ellen. I've never heard that description before. That is probably the most beautiful thing I've heard in a very, very long time.
Well, it used to be like the short version, what we were taught when we were children, was when you say namaste, you're saying to someone, the spirit that dwells in you also lives in me. Therefore, we are no different. the skin color, your race, your religion, your class. It shouldn't matter because we're both on this earthly journey called life together.
Yeah.
And a lot of us get away from that. So Mr. Armstrong G, you spoke a lot in your video about business and business practices. How did you transition away from being a tip-top salesman and going into this business where you are like teaching so many of us about it's okay to make money, it's okay to have a successful company and be in the corporate world, but you must not forget how to treat the universe, how to treat the environment, how to treat each other. Can you talk to our audience a little bit about that part of what you are doing?
Well, Satan, one of the secrets, and this is the Sanskrit words are so helpful in this. So we're all human beings, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that greeting, namaste, says to every human being, I will not coerce you. I am not going to convert you. I'm only here to have a friendly conversation with you. Now, that's exactly what the message of the Bhagavad Gita is. The Bhagavad Gita is the supreme being that everyone else speaks of in various ways and points to in various ways. But this is based on the historical notion that that supreme being came to earth, walked amongst human beings multiple times, but in this most recent appearance, the one you mentioned, left behind a book with a conversation between someone like us, named Arjuna, and the supreme being as a person who came and told us where we are, who we are, how to be here, what the final, ultimate, possible destination is. And this book is the user's manual of the entire Sanskrit-based Vedic culture. And I have recently done an English translation of it that makes it approachable. And I took out all of the colonizing words that were obscuring it. So if this conversation is to be easy for the Hindu youth and for most persons, they need a user's manual to refer to. And that's what the Bhagavad Gita is, my version of it or anyone else's. But it is the user's manual for the entire Vedic civilization.
Yes, and your book, the Bhagavad Gita Comes Alive, is an award-winning book. And I'm so glad you did that because I remember reading parts of the Gita. I have to confess I haven't read the entire book yet, but I may read it now that you've made it simplified. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, there were a lot of Western texts in there that to some people did not make sense. Because in the days when Arjuna spoke, and they to Lord Krishna and to Lord Ram, and they had this, the Bhagavad Gita was written, a lot of the texts that we saw that the colonizers had in there, it did not match.
Listen, technology has brought this to our attention in a very interesting way. Everyone knows what a programming language is. Without a programming language, our technology would not be working. But I dare say very few people know how to program in a programming language. That's a technical skill. But everyone knows that without a programming language, we wouldn't be able to have computers and technology. So the programming language of being human is Sanskrit. And this part has been left out in most descriptions of the culture of India, but it's very important to understand that Sanskrit is, with no debate about this subject, the most precise, most ancient, most articulate language on our planet.
So for listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. Jeffrey Armstrong, who I'm going to say Jeffrey Armstrong G. His Sanskrit name is Kavindra Rishi. He's an international speaker on Hindu Vedic Sanatan Dharma and is considered one of the foremost authorities on Vedic knowledge and its relevance to contemporary spirituality. He was recently awarded the ICCR Distinguished Indologist Award in 2021 by the Government of India and is the author of The Decolonized Bhagavad Gita Comes Alive. So I read on one of your Facebook posts that you had met Prime Minister Modi a while back.
Yes, that's true. We actually met back in Gujarat when he was the Prime Minister of Gujarat. And then we have subsequently had interactions and I'm very, very fond of what he is and what he does. To my way of thinking, he's the first true representative of the Vedic culture to sit in the seat of highest influence for over 1,000 years since colonization. So it's really a Vedic Renaissance that we're having right now.
Well, I do appreciate what he's doing, and he's well loved, not just in India, but I just made a TikTok account, and man, I saw him in different parts of the world, and the lines that are line, even here in New York when he came a few weeks ago, it was in Times Square and at the White House. It was wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about democracy. You changed that word so beautiful from democracy to democracy. How did you come up with that? And talk to us about what your vision for the corporate world. I mean, after being an executive for over 15 years in Silicon Valley and speaking to Fortune 500 companies, you certainly have a lot of experience behind you. So talk to us about this word you came up with, because it is absolutely beautiful, and the way you put the two together, it makes a person sit up and take note of it.
All right. Well, there's one more piece to my biography that I don't think you were given, but I spent 10 years of my life as a stand-up comedian.
Oh, you did? Now Ellen is laughing.
Now I understand.
After my corporate career, and I called corporations that I worked at corporations, that dead place I go each day. Mm-hmm. So...
Corps, yes.
Yes, that corporation, that dead place I go each day. And what I meant by that was the yogi in me was offended by the fact that we were not there to protect Mata Bhumi, our Mother Earth, that we were not there working together with everyone for the well-being of everyone and for the future well-being of our planet. So that bothered me since I was 13. In fact, the first poem I wrote at age 13 began this journey. It was, life is like a carnival filled with dirty little men grubbing for pennies, offering cheap thrills to stupid people who lead empty, meaningless lives. And when I look in the mirror, I see not one person but two, and I wonder which one is really me.
Oh my gosh. Powerful.
That was age 13. I woke up and kept writing. So eventually, after working for Apple, being in the midst of technology in Silicon Valley for 8 years, and I was Apple Computer's representative to the Arab countries, I visited 20 Arab countries, bringing the Apple II computer to them, because it worked in Arabic and Greek, Arabic and English. Rather, the Apple II in the version, and I do Wozniak and Jobs and all of those people. So they did a computer that with a hard switch could go back and forth between Arabic and English. So anyway, at the end of all of that, I saw technology was leading us toward a dangerous direction. And if we did not take care of the planet, then technology could destroy us. And we stand right in that spot right now. So I created a character named Saint Silicon, the founder of the world's first computer religion, CHIP, the Church of Heuristic Information Processing, the Hunt and Peck Method of Salvation, the world's first user-friendly religion where everything is gigo, garbage in, gospel out.
Yes.
So, I act as a satirist for 10 years, warning mankind about the dangers of technology. So, this is the same stance with dharmocracy. That dharma is the laws of nature. Nature is Mata Bhumi. But here's a word for you. The word human comes from humi. Humus, the soil. Bhumi, the Sanskrit word, drop the B, you get humi and human and human beings. Now how many people speak English know that the Bhumi, their Mother Earth, is what their name came from as human? This is the great beauty of Sanskrit. So we are Bhumi beings, and therefore the culture of Sanskrit is to directing our attention to all care about our mother.
You know, you make a lot of sense, because oftentimes you'll go on social media and you see tons of garbage, tons of recycling. People are complaining about the earth. They're complaining that it's 110 degrees in Florida. They're complaining about the heat wave. Now we're watching the wildfires. But yet still, Mr. Jeffrey Armstrong G., what has happened to humans in that they wake up every day and they enjoy this magnificent planet that God has created for us, but so many will not even recycle. They will not even think about Mother Earth. They will not even think about the next generation or even their grandchildren. How do we get more people to think every single day about how wonderful it is that Mother Earth, nature, is here for us, and we are not giving her back 100% of our being?
Well, that's a great question, Caesar. In some ways, that's the question. Because, you see, the problem, when I looked at this over the years, what I finally saw was a small, narrow-minded time view. If you only thought you had an hour to live, you'd stop this phone call and go do something that was most critical. But because it feels like we have more time, this call is a luxury that we can continue to do. So, the worldview is the basis of everything. And if you only think you live for one lifetime, it's a frightening, intimidating, dominating, depressing, demoralizing reality. You only live once, and then you either go to hell or some nice place in the sky. Sorry, folks, that's very depressing. Namaste means you can't die. Relax. Chill. Now, in that mood, let's work together and let's see what our skills can do to contribute to the well-being of everyone. This is the ethos of the Hindu Vedic culture.
Yes, and I just had someone send me a text and says, what exactly is Hinduism? So can you tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, how, when someone sees you, Mr. Jeffrey Armstrong G., and they ask you, what exactly is Hinduism? I try to explain to people that Hinduism is a way of life. It's how you live. It's always remembering that your deeds and your actions affect not just you, but your children, your grandchildren. So do good, good will follow you. How do you explain that?
Let's go back right where we started so beautifully. Thank you. Namaste means, hi, you can't die. That's what it means. Hello, remember, you can't die. When I say namaste and point to you with my two hands, I'm actually reminding you, you're immortal. Don't hold a small-minded frame. Don't just think you have one life. Don't think you'll be gone after this. You're immortal. You can't die. And I'm just reminding you, namaste. Have a namaste. Don't forget you're immortal, or you'll panic. You'll get selfish, you'll get greedy, you think you have to do it all in one lifetime. You won't have respect, you won't have a worldview that's big. You'll be a Duratma, a tiny-minded being, not a Maha-atma, a large-minded being. So this is where the conversation should begin of the Vedic culture. It is Maha-atma. It sees the big view and keeps reminding everyone about that, so we don't become small-minded, selfish, greedy, etc.
So it's like you think of your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, and your spirit, and that you do it so beautifully. So what, you know, Hindus don't fear death, right? We are born to die, and we learn that from the time we're young children. So we know. I think it was instilled in me and so many of my siblings and our friends and family circle that you are here for a purpose. And you have to find that purpose and do it in such a way that you make your parents proud, you make yourself proud, and you go about God's business by giving back to humanity. What has happened in today's world, Mr. Jeffrey Armstrong G., that so many people have become so selfish and so greedy and so hateful, and They use bad language? We see it not just here in the United States, but politicians do that too. people who are supposed to be in leadership roles. It's just a world where we need more unity and love. What has happened to humans that this has happened to our world?
Well, I call it I amnesia. They have forgotten who they are. And this is the essence of what yoga is. And you notice that it was on Yoga Day, and Narendra Modi in New York was really showing us this essence. And it is to inspire everyone to respect all living entities, to see that there is an Atma, an immortal being at the core that is the source of their consciousness. And then to draw closer together to each other and say, okay, how can we live on this planet in such a way that we create well-being? Well, the only mood in which to do that is to realize you cannot die. Your body must, but you can't. And this is the starting and ending point of the Vedic knowledge. This is yoga from start to finish. Difference is, once you're established in that, a whole new realm of existence opens up to you. And that's where yoga is leading us. But here, yoga leads us to live beautifully on our mother Matabhumi. Care for each other as if we were all related. Treat even all the creatures with loving respect.
Well, you know, a Hindu is as a Hindu does, right? But my daughter goes to the Vieira Christian Church. She's her husband's Catholic, and oftentimes she would say, you know, Mom, a lot of the Hindu teachings are the same as Christianity. And one of the things she talks about is the sins of the father will fall on the children. And I know there's a Bible verse that's so eloquent about it. And what you're saying is, you know, you live a good life, you leave a good footprint, even though your body may not be here, what you have left behind in generations to come, it will still be here.
Well, actually what I'm talking about is the first part is you simply cannot die. And that's where this is not religion. Because religion is certain you'll die and has given us the problem of one lifetime only. That's the disease Christianity has, and Islam, and Judaism. They still are frightening everyone, saying there's only one life. That is the most problematic error for all human beings.
So you're saying the spirituality, like a lot of people say as they get older, they're getting away from religion and they're becoming more spiritual. Like I meet people and sometimes I would say, gosh, I feel like I've known this person all my life.
Right.
And I think that's spiritual, and I think that's part of what you are telling us today, that all of us are interconnected somehow.
Well, the interconnection comes next, but the first is knowing who you are, so that you take personal responsibility for many, 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 many. I have a story about this. That first I was born again Christian, which I was, and then I became a born again and again and again and again and again Hindu.
It's great. I actually had an opportunity. I'm Ellen. I'm the co-host here with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Namaste,
and
Ellen.
Namaste. It's beautiful speaking with you today. I remember not that long ago, I was invited to a Bodhisattva training. It was sort of a life training. And I remember being in that group with three Franciscan nuns. And they were speaking the same language that you were. And again, kind of relating it a little bit to Christianity, but said the exact same thing, and how they felt like they had, not necessarily, I mean, they didn't take a negative approach to it, but it short words were, they felt like they were lied to because they saw this whole other opening of passion and care and love that they felt way beyond the love that they felt for Jesus Christ. It was just a beautiful experience, not just only to be in the class with them, but also to feel their energy and the way that they had kind of transformed a little bit their thinking and their ideology a little bit to opening up to more options and to more love and to more experience and to more people. It was just amazing.
Well,
so
you know,
you're like reigniting my love for getting back into that Bodhisattva training.
Well, you know what it is too. It's like when you're little. I mean, people recite the Lord's Prayer, and they say, you know, for God to love the world, whatever.
Right.
I went to Christian schools, and I was a Hindu. I'm Hindu at home, but oftentimes people would say one thing but do the other.
Yeah.
And with Hinduism, you live it. It is. You wake up every day, and when you say, "This is a magnificent planet that Lord Krishna has given to us," you actually feel that, you know, the flowers, the fruits, the bees, the animals, everything.
Like everything speaks to you.
It speaks exactly. You coexist, right?
Right.
So, Mr. Armstrong, where can people find your books, Mr. Armstrong G? I just feel so close to you already. Where can we find the Living Gita? How can we get a hold of you? We would love for you to come back on our show again, but we have limited time. So give us your website. We want to learn more about the Vedic Renaissance, decolonizing and rejuvenating the Vedic text, and decolonizing every word and making the Bhagavad Gita more acceptable and more readable for people like myself.
Wonderful. It's Gita Comes Alive. .com and also jeffreyarmstrong.com. You'll find all kinds of information. We have a lot of classes that we did that are video classes, four times through the Gita, four times 18 explanations. They're all online and available. So lots of tools to help people to enter into this. And what you said about pick up this as a user-friendliness that comes from not being afraid. And with my Christian and other religious brethren, you know, I have a degree in history and comparative religion because I wanted to know the details of what they feel. And what I find is persons who have beautiful thoughts and emotions and sentiments, but they got directed in the wrong direction. And at another time, we could talk about this, but you probably are aware that colonization of the world was instigated by the Pope in the Roman Catholic Church in 1452. He gave a papal bull saying to all Christians to go everywhere in the world and take everything, and because it belongs to them, because they're Christian. So it's not Jesus that was the problem. Obviously, he was a yogi. It was what was done with this as a method of control, dominance, and eventually fear-based life endangering activities and disrespecting people by skin of color, everything. All of that came from this colonizing the world. And what you said about in the beginning of the show about my involvement in business is exactly that. I learned the difference between dharmic business, where we take a profit and care for all living entities and give back, and adharmic business. It's asura and deva. And we're supposed to live on this planet like a diva, like a divine being, caring for everyone.
Yeah, and you know what I like about your videos too, and I learned so much from you by just watching a couple of the videos. You were talking about Silicon Valley and the predators, and you used the word, you know, people are prey, P-R-E-Y, on each other in business. They're not P-R-A-Y. And that resonates because we all think of the used car salesmen or the vacuum cleaner salesman that will sell you something knowing very well it's not the right fit.
Yes.
Preying on us just to make a profit. And the other thing too, you spoke a lot about drugs and alcohol and the foods we eat and how unhealthy people are because of this consumption. And so many people don't pay attention to drugs and alcohol and what it does, not just to their lives, but to their children's life, to the community. Then it leads to homelessness and joblessness and all these things. And what you have said and wrapped it up so nicely in your videos is you're giving us the tools to live and help our young ones, help our community, the people on our planet. And I really applaud you for that. So if you'd be so kind, just can you give us the... how can someone watch one of your videos and some of the shows that you're on?
Well, definitely jeffreyarmstrong.com and gitacomesalive.com. They're available. Also, there's a television broadcast, Chitti TV, C-I-T-T-I, which is available in multiple channels. And on those shows, I've given a succinct definition of many of these important issues. You can say that the goal is to give a new universal language Sanskrit is. It's kind of a universal gift of words that give us a view we can participate in together without losing our individuality, without even changing our religion. It's rather the fulfillment, because it's a way for us to live on the planet with each other, and it doesn't end up being destructive. There's one in particular in the Chitty TV. It's called 10 Sanskrit Words That Everyone Needs to Know to Understand the Vedic Culture. So the secret to this is vocabulary, and this is what I've done in The Gita Comes Alive. I've taken out the colonizing words, God, sin, heaven, hell, all of those that should not have been used, and I've left Bhagavan, Prakriti, Atma, Guru, all of these other words in, because the language is the key to reprogramming your worldview.
Thank you so much. And the language is also the key to you being my teacher and other people's teacher. And it takes a man like Mr. Jeffrey Armstrong G to wake people up. I mean, so many of us were waiting for the script where we can read something like the Bhagavad Gita live and understand it in today's world. So I thank you for that. And I do believe it's karma that I was able to have you on today, because tomorrow is a big day for India and for Indians in the diaspora all over. So thank you so much, and Ellen will take it away from here.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing the airways with us today. It's been our pleasure. Namaste. And we will be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends after a quick word from our sponsors.
Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer.
Welcome to MedFast Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast. Think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you. Call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out, as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com.
Jotkoff Financial Group.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionsllsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begay on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and Ellen, we're heard online everywhere.
That's right. If you're listening to us live, you're probably on your radio, but you can also get us on any one of your listening devices. by just going to 1510wwbc.com and click that Listen Live link, and you'll get us live. Of course, all of our archive shows are also there by date. Also on our website, cedamediainc.com, you can search by name or by topic. And then we also put all of that information on our Facebook pages. And what a wonderful first segment.
And now we go to our friend, Mr. Paul Edwards, who's here to talk about the islands, Cascas. The Caribbean islands, and the gala we're having on Saturday, October 14th, 2023. Bacasca is where everything is happening. So, Mr. Paul, talk to us a little bit about Bacasca, and you are one of the people in Bacasca that makes things happen, the public relations officer, the face of Bacasca. And I must say, you do a good job representing Bacasca. I am a life member, and you make people feel welcome. You really do. So welcome to our show, and tell us a little bit about Bacasca.
Thank you very much for having me, Sita and Ellen. Bacasca is the shortening for Brevard Caribbean American Sports and Cultural Association. We represent Caribbean American residents here in Brevard County. We are located at 2174 Harris Avenue in Palm Bay. Our purpose is to assist our members to participate and give back to the community. Years ago, when Caribbean residents migrated here, especially from New York and the other states, we were primarily just doing cricket, so we were known as the Brevard Cricket Club. But then the Caribbean residents here in Brevard County has been expanded. And so we recognize it's valuable to have our members participate in community activities, to participate in elections, to participate in anything that can make their community better, and to also share the Caribbean culture. And since the demographics of the Caribbean residents here are getting younger, We are also trying to bridge the gap between seniors and the youngsters to keep the culture alive. Here in America, diversity is what makes America beautiful. I remember when I was being sworn in as a citizen, the officer said, "Don't lose your culture." So we are trying not to lose our culture. We are trying to share our ways of life. So that's what Brevard Caribbean America does.
Right. It's about community involvement.
Correct.
And staying engaged. And it is about food. I mean, the Caribbean culture, the food, the curry, the dancing, the sense of belonging, right? And the Caribbean, all of us who, you're right, when we took our oath and we became reborn in the United States, we brought with us also family values. Talk to us a little bit about how Bacasca helps bridge that gap between the grandparents, the aunts, the cousins, and the youngsters.
One of the first thing I noticed when I came to the United States was that the people weren't close. I went to New York. I spent 2 weeks there. And I only saw my neighbors' cars in the evening. I didn't see them during the day. I remember one day a neighbor came and woke me up. He needed a jump start. His car couldn't start, so he wanted a jump start.
You probably didn't even know his name. You just say, "Okay, man."
So I went out there to give him a jump start. And then he says, "How much money I owe you?" And I said, "Owe me money?" He said, "Yes, I have to pay you for it." And I said, "No, that's just a jump start." So that is what we are accustomed to. We are accustomed to being our brother's keeper. So we are trying to say to the younger generation that you must know your neighbors. On the street that I live, I know all my neighbors. I made it a point of duty to go out and introduce myself and to know my neighbors. And because you never know when you might need their help. And so we are saying to, in bridging the gap with the younger generation coming up, is don't be too selfish. As I heard your program a while ago, when it says, take care of Mother Earth and we are all eternal. We have to treat people good. And so in America, if you are not careful, we can be caught up.
You get lost.
And you get lost.
You're right, because I work, you know, in a nursing facility where there's a lot of Caribbean people. And oftentimes, they would bring a lot of mangoes and put it in the break room. Anybody who want mango steak. And then the other day, somebody brought a lot of long green beans. Somebody brought okra. Somebody brought eggplant. And some of the American friends are like, how much is it? Well, it's not. Our culture is, if you have an abundance of fruits and vegetables, an abundance of love, if you could watch somebody's child, if you could help someone who is ill, we do it because it's closeness.
Correct. I want to share a brief story. I live right beside a police officer who's a Caucasian. And each year when my fruits tree bear, I would carry fruits and give it to him. And I noticed something. Sometimes now I'll go outside and I see the front of my yard, my lawn cut. And nice. It is because of the relationship I've developed with him.
Well, in life is about relationships, right? So now he wants to do something nice for you. And wouldn't it be wonderful if the whole world could be like us in Bakaska? Because one of the most wonderful things about Bakaska is that we are trying to build a community center to pass on this knowledge and experience to the next generation. Because it's not enough to say it. We have to prove it. We have to do it. We have to set an example. So tell our listening audience and Viewpoint with Sita and friends, how this vision for this cultural community center that benefits not just Caribbean youth, but the United States, Palm Bay, Florida, how did that come about, that vision, that dream?
As I said before, our group is expanding because we have more residents, younger residents coming here into Brevard County. And we have every year various activities. We have family fun days. We have food and culture sharing. And we recognized that we want to serve the community more. So we would like to have a center where we can have classrooms, where students can come after class and work, where many of our residents who are retired can give back to these younger people. We want to have rooms where any set of persons, if they need a space to meet, to have community meetings.
Like Mr. Armstrong said, yoga.
Correct. They can come right. And have it. So that is why we want to have a community center for ourselves. And so we are having this gala in October where the funds raised is going towards to help us to purchase this center that we can develop and set it up to how we would like it to be. So it can be used by our members and also by the community itself.
Right. And Bakaska is governed by a board. It's not like one person is going to say, I'm going to... Because, you know, one of the things I people, when you ask them to buy a ticket, where are the money going? Well, who's benefiting? Well, it's the community is benefiting. So talk to us about the board and how it's governed and who's helping to make sure that it goes in the right places.
Bakaska was founded in 1989. And we are one of the longest non-profit organizations here in anywhere. Our office, as I said, is on Palm Bay Road, 2174 Harris Avenue. We are governed by a board, which is elected every 2 years. And we have members meeting once per month. So the direction that we go is really governed by all the members and overseen by the board. So any funds given to us, your support of our events, you will always be able to, at a members meeting, get our financials. So you can see where the funds is going. You can see how the funds is spent. So everything is done above board. And the reason why we have been able to be in operation so long is because we do operate ethically and correctly to meet the standards set by the state or nonprofit association.
And they got a financial advisor on the board. So,
which is
somebody
wonderful.
That can look and also, you know, think about it. You know, when you're purchasing land like that and you're doing something, you have to do things smartly and in the right way. So you're the perfect.
Right. We're hoping to get the land. I was floored when I found out that Bakaska is paying so much in rent every month. And I've always said that for the amount of people who have moved to Palm Bay or surrounding areas, the amount of Caribbean people, if each household gave $10 to Bakaska, we could have already paid down on a piece of land or paid down on a building. So in a way, I'm going to double up my efforts to say to people, you got to step up. It's not enough to talk about having a place for the youths. I mean, look what we're going to help when we help the youths. We help, you know, crime will go down. We help people to learn their culture. We speak about the people that came before us. And politically, Bokaska is active as well in fielding the candidates and having forums, which Caribbean people like to vote for whoever's listening. We do like to vote. We love getting involved in our community.
We do. We are very active politically. And that's why we get great support from all the candidates that participate in the local election. We state to our members that your local election affects you sometimes more than the general election, so you must get involved. And so we have great support from the city of Palm Bay in which we are located. And we will continue to do that. So any support we can receive to this event, it, as we said, it will be held at the Holiday Inn in Vera, the conference center, Saturday, October the 14th, from 5 p.m. to 12 p.m. And the cost is very, very, very reasonable. A single, $100 per person. Couple, $190. And if you buy a table of 10, it's $900 for a table which hosts 10 persons.
Right. And if somebody does not want to attend the event, but they want to donate, they can go right to the Bokaska website and donate. Right. Let's say you got something to do that day and you can't attend and you say, all right, I'll just send money. And you send that money. What about businesses? Can they partner with Bokaska and help at this gala or other events?
Yes, we do have a sponsorship package that we are reaching out to businesses for. We have a sponsorship package for $5,000, and we have what the benefits you will receive. We call that the Calypso sponsorship. We have one for $2,500, which we call the Rum sponsorship.
You hear one, that, Ellen? The rum.
Like all of a sudden perked up.
For $1,500, which is the Carnival sponsorship. And we have what we call the Coconut sponsorship, which is for $1,000. And the Mango sponsorship, which is for $500. Plus, we are also doing journals where you can place ads in journals and so forth. So you can reach out to us at Bokaska, and we will certainly be able to take your contribution.
So what do we expect at the gala? We're going to have food, calypso, steel band music, a little bit of pan, and people want to dance.
Correct. It's an elegant affair, so we call it a black tie affair. You are going to have delicious food. You are going to have a guest speaker, which is
Miss Harris. Right.
She'll be our guest speaker. We will also be giving out 2 awards to a couple of Caribbean residents who we feel have contributed significantly over the year. But most of the time, we'll be spending dancing, enjoying yourself.
So that's the thing about Caribbean people, Danny, and we do like to fish, but we don't have a fishing sponsorship, all right? But Caribbean people, we go to church, we go to temple, we go to mosque, we pray to God, we love our kids, we help watch them, we work hard, we pay taxes, and we know how to have a good time. Does that sum us up?
Yes, that's all. That's exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we enjoy. I mean, there's always room for learning and improvement. Like, we would do more for the environment and stuff. Right. We could always bring that message back. But talk to our listeners a little bit, Paul, about why is it people from the Caribbean are so loved? People go on a cruise and they want to braid their hair and go to the Bahamas and go and have fun in the in Royal Caribbean and gamble, and they come back so happy when they see Caribbean people.
Because the Caribbean islands are very small, and so everyone knows each other. In Jamaica, where I'm originally from, the community I live, I can tell you almost every person who lives in the community. And so we have a close sense of family. Here in the United States, because of its vast, of its size, people don't know each other. And so we bring that upbringing to where we are. That's why wherever they say Caribbean people are vibesy. So wherever we are, we bring an energy. And so we like to share that energy to everyone that we meet.
And I love that everybody in the community has a nickname, right?
Yeah.
Like No Shoe Joe or Tree John or something like that. Like everybody's got a cute little nickname because all of my Caribbean friends all have like little nicknames for me. Guitar
right.
Ellen,
and nobody
Blondie.
Gets overly sensitive over, like you'll call somebody Bones, they don't care. You call them Skinny, they don't care. You can call them out, hey, Blacks, he don't get mad. You call an Indian boy, Coolie Boy, he don't get vexed. But you know, the thing is, nowadays, you have to be so politically correct about everything. But in the Caribbean, you don't. Am I correct?
Correct. Someone asked me recently if I know a gentleman in Palm Bay. I was in Orlando. And they told me the name. And I said to them, the truth is, we call most persons by their nickname.
Yeah.
So if you tell us their right name, we might not know them.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you were to know their nickname... That's
like Curry Jane. Yeah. I love Curry Jane.
Oh, they're calling MAGA man or tall man or short man. Like one lady said, I don't like people making fun of my height. A friend of mine was saying that, and I said, well, in Trinidad, they'll call you short stuff, and nobody will say anything. Right? But in America, everything is so, you have to be careful and politically correct. Yeah. So one more time, the Islands of the Caribbean Gala will be held on Sunday, October 14th, Saturday. I don't know why, because I'm off on Sunday. Saturday, October 14th, 2023. Saturday, Danny, pay attention. And it's from 5 to 12, Holiday Inn Vieira Conference Center. And that's at 8298 Wickham Road. And the tickets are $100 per person if you buy it by itself. If you buy a table, it's $900. I bought a table today. And my friends are coming. We are going to dance and prance and have a good time. And I am the MC on the stage with our friend Khadija that night,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We're going to have a great time.
You need to wear that yellow dress.
So, thank you.
Yellow dress. I'm
give us the
you.
Website Not one more time as support so people can either become a member of Bacasca or they could donate to Bacasca or they could find some purpose with their life and volunteer like all the people who are volunteering to make Bacasca so great.
It's BCASCA, B as in boy, C as in cat, A as in apple, S as in Sam, C as in cat, A as in apple, FL.com, BacascaFL.com. That's the website where you can become a member, you can purchase your tickets, you can learn all you want about Bacasca.
Or you could partner Miss Ellen. Ellen is a Trinidadian Caribbean. By association.
Association, totally.
Well, oh my gosh, it's going to be a grand affair, and I'm looking forward to it on Saturday, October 14th.
Yes, and keep in mind, you know, these are also networking events, so there's lots of great opportunity to meet people that maybe you wouldn't be able to meet in a different setting. So make sure you get to all of these events, especially in Palm Bay, because we really do need more of a community out there. It's such a big city. It's like the third largest or fourth largest city in Florida. So we need a lot of community outreach.
And Paul, give us the website for your business as well as a financial advisor. I'm sure people would be able to chat with you as well.
It's possibilityplusfs.com.
And he's also on LinkedIn. And like, so if you look up Paul Edwards, you'll be able to find him. But we are going to have to sign off here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Once again, another fabulous episode here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Make sure to tune in each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1510 WWBC. Have a great week, y'all.